Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, please. Choose to serve. That is the title of our sermon today. In Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 25, the Bible says this. Jesus called them together and he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." This morning, Jesus has a question for you. It's impossible for you to not answer this question. You cannot avoid this question. You cannot refuse to answer this question. You cannot close your ears to this question. For in doing so, you actually are answering the question by default. What is the question that Jesus has to ask of this morning? It's simply this: to serve or not to serve? All right. That is the question. This month we're reading the book Passport. Chapter 1 was on perspective. It was designed to help us here in America understand how wealthy we are financially, how well off we are. And we found out that if we make $20,000 to $25,000 a year, we are in the richest 2% of the people on planet Earth. We're very wealthy. Chapter 2, Conviction, designed to help us turn our finances into a blessing instead of a curse. And if you read any of these lessons in this chapter, you found out that having wealth can easily, and more often is, a curse to our life than it is a blessing. But we're learning out how to turn our wealth into a blessing instead of a curse. The Passport book helps us to see that God has given us two great resources in our life: time and money. Both of them gifts from God. But it also helps us to see why God has given us these resources in our life as well. And yes, one of the reasons is because God wants to meet our basic needs. But the other reason is because God wants us to serve Him with our time and with our money. And as we study the scriptures, we find that we serve God by serving the church. We serve God by serving the poor. And we serve God by serving lost souls who need a relationship with Him. Throughout the month, we'll be talking about serving in all three ways. We've been talking about serving the poor. And we've been talking about serving the lost. But today's sermon, entitled Choose to Serve, has this one point, and that point is serve the church. On, choose to serve the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, the Bible teaches us that God gave us our gifts and our talents and our resources so that we would use those gifts and talents and resources to build up His church. That's why He gave them to us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." At a pivotal point in our nation's history, President John F. Kennedy delivered a famous speech. And in that speech, he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Instead, ask what you can do for your country." That's right. This is a pivotal point for us in the Frederick Church. We all need to come together. And together we need to ask this question: ask not what my church can do for me, but ask, what can I do for my church? Amen. It's very exciting to know. We planted this church years ago with just about 25 of us. You know, now we have around 70 disciples in the church and a lot of children running around as well. And we're grateful for every one of them. But also this summer is the summer that the Frederick Church is going to be financially independent from the Montgomery County Church. They're not supporting us anymore financially after this summer. And they have supported us so much over the years. We're so grateful to God for all that they've done to help us grow and get to the point to where we are. But now it's time for us to grow up as a church. Amen. It's kind of like being a teenager. You want your independence. You don't want mom and dad telling you what to do, but you still want them to buy the food, provide the housing for you, pay for the school, get the clothes. We love our independence. We don't want to have to drive down to Montgomery County to go to church all the time, do we? But sometimes we still want them to buy the food, to pay for the clothes, to pay the rent for our building that we meet in, to give us a minister to minister to us. It's time for us to grow up, to graduate, and to move on. Amen. And we must ask this question, what can I do for this church in Frederick? In John chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, the Bible says this. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Here, Jesus, the night before he is going to die on the cross for our sins, decides, I am going to show my followers exactly what I want them to do when I'm gone. I want to teach them to serve, to wash one another's feet. I want them to see that I'm setting the example for them, and I want them to take that example and go and do likewise. Yeah. In the passport book, we read about this awesome couple. I have no idea if I can pronounce their name properly, so I'm just going to let you know. But I think one of them has the same name as my wife, if you said it in English, but then their names are Moise and Marte, and they are from Abidjan, Ivory Coast, and Moise is a professor, teaches at university there. As a family, together, they make $24,000 a year. As a professor, that's what he makes. They live in a three-bedroom apartment, and there are six of them in the family, all six of them living in this three-bedroom flat. And what we learned about them is typically they let four other people in the church live with them pretty much at all times because they're surrounded by people who don't have the ability to take care of themselves. So now, three-bedroom apartment, $24,000 a year, 10 people living in their house, four of them just their brothers and sisters in Christ that they're trying to help out, help get on their feet, help keep alive, help keep going. That's an example of an awesome family that is asking the question, what can I do for my church? Amen. One of the things that I am impressed by here is our singles ministry that we have here. Amen. I'm always so impressed. The majority of our singles are either parents or grandparents. But a lot of single parents and single grandparents in the church. And all the time, you see them, how they take care of one another. They're moving each other in each other's apartments, moving each other into each other's homes, coming over and helping each other with their food and cooking, getting people from place A to place B, all the time taking care of each other. About a year ago, they said, hey, we'd kind of like to have our own ministry. So we said, sure, great, let's set up a ministry. The ministry that is the most independent ability to just do everything they need to do for their ministry in the church has been our mature singles. They take care of themselves and a lot of other people in the church as well. Amen. Even they have their own children. Now, I'm raising children with a wife. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a single parent trying to raise the children without my awesome wife there with me doing it. These are just like the heroes of the church. They're a perfect example of what the Bible is teaching about. And I really would like to hold them up today. And now, they're out here planning a breakfast to raise money for poor people in India. In addition to just taking care of one another and doing all the things they need to do every day to take care of their life and their family. So proud of them. You know, earlier we quoted from 1 John 3:16, but now I want to read verse 17 and 18. It says this: if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. About a year ago, I was listening to another man preach, and he was talking about action, taking action. And he got so excited about it. And he said, action is king. Action is king of everything. It's not good intentions. It's not plans. It's action. Action is king. Taking what we're learning from the passport book, the scriptures that we're reading, the challenges that we've been given, and putting it into action, it's king. It's everything that we need in this church to not just become convicted or feel guilty or overwhelmed, but to actually make the changes, put into practice what God is calling us to do from His Word. And you might ask yourself, well, how can I serve the church? You know, I don't really know what I could do to serve the church. Well, I have a few suggestions. First of all, serve the church by daily praying for the church. Yeah. You might think, oh, surely everybody's daily praying for the church. Probably not. If you're not, daily pray for the church. Do that. Second of all, serve the church by asking God this question: what can I do to serve the church? Pray. God, show me how I can build this church up. Show me how you can use me. You gave me gifts and time and money. How can I use it to build up the church? And let God put it on your heart. And let God show you how you can build up the church. Second of all, third of all, got to get my counting right here. You could serve in the children's ministry. You could serve as an usher. You could serve on the worship team, only if you can sing. You could serve on the hospitality table. You can serve in the sound by setting up sound. You can serve by coming in and setting up the chairs. It wouldn't be serving if you were in the worship team and you can't sing, right? So that's why I said that, right? People would be like, "Woo, stop serving." You know. You can serve by giving yourself 100% to your small groups. What are we trying to do in the church? Every ministry, everybody in a small group, so that we can love each other and care for each other and help each other grow and help each other with our needs and reach out to the community and build our families and build our marriages and build our life together. By just attending the group and giving your heart, you will serve the church in a great way. You can serve by being devoted to the fellowship. Start planning your schedule around being with the body of Christ. We just get in the habit of making our life so busy, and then we don't have time to be with the body of Christ anymore. And we just think that we can't be with the body of Christ because we're so busy. It's all about what we're planning in our schedule to do and to be. Start planning and changing our life around being with the body of Christ. Understanding, we all have situations. We all have temporary things that we're going through. It's one thing to have a temporary situation to go through. It's another thing to become the kind of person who does not even care about planning around the body of Christ. Amen. And what we start out as a temporary thing can sometimes become who we actually are. And just the way that we live for the rest of our life. And that's no way to build the church or to serve the church. Just plan to be there. When you come, do your best to arrive early, even though everybody will come late at some point in time, right? Things will happen. We'll get flat tires. We'll wake up sick. One of our children will have trouble. All kinds of things will happen. It's true. All of us come late sometimes. And you know what? It's okay for every single one of us to come late sometimes. But if it becomes who you are, if pretty much people can count on the fact that you will definitely be late. If people start saying come at 10:15 when something really starts at 10:30, so they know they can trick you into hopefully getting you there by 10:30. It has become who you are. It is not your situation in life anymore. It is now who you are. It's a matter of the heart when it comes down to that. Plan to give to the members and the guests when you show up. When you're showing up anywhere in the fellowship, plan to give. come to give. You know what? It always feels so inspiring and so encouraging when you give to somebody and you go away and you feel like, I think I really made a difference with that person. It's awesome, an awesome feeling. A lot of times when people come up to me and they share, I don't think the church is loving, or I don't think that, you know, this church could be a better church because people aren't really warm and welcoming here. You know, I'll just always say, look, you become warm and welcoming. Amen. You be loving. If you be loving and you are warm and welcoming, then the church will be more loving and more warm and welcoming than it used to be. You be that. And I'll just tell you something. Nobody runs away from people who are warm and loving and welcoming. There's not enough people like that in the world. If you find one, you tend to gravitate to that person. If you don't have any friends, you should probably ask yourself the question, am I being a friend to other people? Am I being warm and loving and welcoming to them? Because I can just tell you something. People need friends. And people love it when they get around somebody who's encouraging them and giving to them and loving them. And so, hey, when we show up, let's do that. We can serve by taking action to build the church, not to neglect the church, not to use the church. We use the church, that's if we just come when it's convenient for us. We come if we just feel like, I really just need to be at church today so I can get encouraged. Awesome. We're all that way. Is that the only time we come, though? It's only when it's convenient. It's only when it's what we need to get for ourselves. Everybody else needs everybody else in the church to come and give all the time. Oh, every once in a while we're going to miss. Of course. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to do other things. You know, we're going to get sick. You know, things are going to happen. Every once in a while we're going to miss. But if our lifestyle is to miss, we're not serving the church. Do not use the church. Instead, care about the church all the time and decide to be there for one another. If I'm not there for you, then guess what? I'm not there for you. If you're not here for me, then you're not here for me. It's the action. It's not just saying, hey, bro, love you. I'll always be there for you. Not if you're not actually there for me, you won't. Not if you're not actually even showing up to talk to me, you're not. What should my attitude be about serving the church with my time and with my money? You might be thinking about that. Yeah, what should my attitude be? Well, there's these 12 books in the Bible. I love the name of these 12 books. And I love these 12 books because I won a lot of contests off of these 12 books when I was growing up. Okay? When I was growing up in my church, we always had contests in our children's ministry. Could you name the books of the Bible, right? And everybody always gets messed up on the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, right? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, right? They're odd names. They're hard to remember. Everyone gets messed up on them. I've worked really hard to learn them. I won a lot of prizes off of those names. But you know what? And by the way, if you ever decide to study the minor prophets, I suggest that you spread it out over a couple of years, okay? Yeah. Because when God sends these prophets into town, it's usually because a really bad, bad thing is going on. And a really bad, worst thing is about to happen to them if they don't repent, okay? So one time I did a study on the minor prophets. I got so depressed, you know. I didn't know what to do with myself. And now anytime someone tells me I'm reading the minor prophets, I always say, you better sprinkle those out for over a long period of time or you're going to probably wake up depressed one morning. But there's one, the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai is when the nation of Israel was supposed to be rebuilding the temple of God. They were supposed to be building his house. All right? And the book of Haggai is actually about time. What should my attitude towards time be towards God? So let's just see if we can actually find the book of Haggai in the Old Testament, okay? Go to Matthew and turn back a few pages, and you'll get there, okay? In order for me to find the book of Haggai, I have to start at Hosea. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and Nahum. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, right? And so that's where you're going to find Haggai. Okay. Here we are in the book of Haggai. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 to 9, What should my attitude be about my time? This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your own paneled houses while my house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. Now check this one out. This is the one that most of us are going to be able to relate to right here. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Don't you feel that way? I'm working, 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 bringing in money, money, money. Where is the money going? It all seems to be gone. There should be more here. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, bring down the timber, and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces on men and cattle and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God has sent him, and the people feared the Lord. This is nothing but a message about time. That's all it is. Ask yourself this question. Have you been thinking, when I have more time, then I'm going to do the work of the Lord? When I get to the point when I have more time, I don't have so much going on with work. I don't have so much going on with my family. I don't have so many things ailing me. I don't have so many sports to take care of. So much schoolwork to take care of. When I have more time, then I will have some time that I can give to serving the Lord and building up His church. Is that how you've been feeling? If so, you better start getting ready to have some holes in your pocket.
Come on, bro.
You know, because the Bible actually said that God intentionally blew their wealth away. Oh, you got a speeding ticket because you were in a big hurry because you didn't have time. Boom! God blew your wealth away. Oh, man, you had to pay more taxes this year than you thought. Whoa, there goes your wealth right away. Oh, no, the dryer broke down. The refrigerator's not working. My car broke down. There goes the wealth, blowing it all away because we didn't have time to build God's church. God expects us to build the church first, and then with the time we have left over, then we take care of everything else. But His house first. We serve with our time for God first. And then everything else will go well. I'll never forget the brother who, I didn't actually know the brother's name, but this brother, he was serving the Lord so much with all of his time. He had a car that had 250,000 miles on it. He literally prayed and fasted over his car for a couple years so it would keep working, you know, because it was falling apart. And he was just so faithful in his giving of his contribution to the church and his serving in the church. And he just literally prayed that car to almost 300,000 miles. And then finally it broke down and died. You know, I mean, that might sound crazy to you, but let me just tell you something. That's actually easy for God. That is easy for God to do. Easy. God can do it asleep with his eyes closed, standing on one foot. Okay? It's easy for God to do that. What should my attitude towards time be? Well, simple. Give my time to the Lord first, and with what I have left after I've done what I do to serve the Lord, then I take care of everything else. Malachi Malachi focuses on money. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Turn to the last book of the Old Testament.
Come on, Steve.
I know how you might be feeling right now. You might be feeling bad or mad or something like that. But I'm just sharing this with you because you know what? Isn't it great if God is on your side, on your team, got your back, taking care of your bills, right, making your refrigerator last an extra year for you, yep, making your car go better, making the angel come in the way so nobody runs into the back of your car? I mean, isn't it better if God is there for you, blessing you, helping you, working for you, on your side? I think that's better. We don't hurt one another by sharing these scriptures. These are the words of God. He wants us to hear the message. Hey, guess what? Put me first. Build my house first. I'll take care of you. It'll go very well for you if you put me first. What about our money? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for all of it. What should my attitude towards giving money to the church be? When we give money to the church, that's how we give money to God. He's not really going to come knocking on your door with an envelope, with a collection. Hey, can you please give me some money? He wants you to use your money to build up his kingdom, to build up his church. And this is a challenge that we have to face. He cannot be the guy who gets what's left over, yeah, after we've bought everything else we want for ourselves.
Wow.
And the United States makes it so easy for us to do that. It's a trap. I know the trap very well, because you just think, oh, I can buy this and I can buy that and I can pay for it later and I can make payments on credit card, I can make car payments, I can make payments on all these different things. It's just going to all work out. And then we find out all of a sudden, hey, I don't even make enough money to make all these payments. And then we get an attitude at church because, hey, they expect me to give financially and I can't even possibly make all of my payments. Okay, but that's not really the problem. It's not the problem that we're reading the scriptures and saying, give first all of your tithes to God, and then after that, live your life. The problem is buying all these things on credit that we can't afford, not having a plan, not figuring out what it's going to mean to us. And then after we do that, and we're all in debt, then we add to the sin of our debt by not giving to God, by holding back from him. And how does God view this? Well, he views it as you robbing him. That's how he views it. It's what it says right here in Malachi chapter 3. You know, when I read these scriptures, it is very convicting for me. And both of them, the time and the money, is very convicting for me. Because I know how much I've been influenced by my culture around me. And all it takes is one person in the church to buy that thing. Then all the other people in the church are going, hey, that person got it. Maybe I should do that too. And next thing you know, everybody's doing it. Then you have a whole church of people who can't even give to the contribution sacrificially. And then they're working so hard to try to figure out how to pay all their debt, they can't even give time to the church to build up the church. What should our attitude be? Well, it should be this. Haggai, hey, first we build God's church before we worry about our paneled homes. Malachi, first we give to the Lord before we worry about going and buying all kinds of other things. Oh, that's going to hurt me. No, not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, that is the key to unlocking God's favor in your life. And who can help your life more than God? Certainly not you. Certainly not me. So in conclusion, today we ask the question. It's actually Jesus' question. To serve or not to serve? We must ask, what is my attitude towards using the time and money God gave me going to be? Will I give God the first fruits of my money? Will I give God the first fruits of my time? Or will he get the scraps that are left over? The question will not be answered by our words. The question cannot be avoided either. We will answer the question. We will answer this question by our actions, and it will be born forth in the fruit of our church and in the fruit of our life. My prayer for all of us and my challenge to all of us, including myself, is that we will choose to serve God's church. Thank you.
Amen.